Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to this hour. We'll be discussing the latest in the Jussie Smollett case, where it looks like a prosecutor could be facing disbarment in the state of Illinois. We'll also get to your questions in the mailbag, but we begin with President Trump doing a huge rally. It was a rager in Michigan last night. President Trump basically laid out what his 2020 campaign is going to look like. And there are good points, and there are bad points. He did it last night in Michigan. Michigan is a state he won extraordinarily narrowly over Hillary Clinton. He beat her 47.3% to 47%. It is trending a little bit blue because in the last election cycle in 2018, a lot of Democrats won. The senatorial candidate, John James, over there, a really good, solid Republican candidate, military background, African-American, he lost, which was too bad. The fact is that President Trump's reelection essentially hinges on three states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. That's it. And that's the whole election. He will probably win Ohio. It's debatable whether he wins Florida. It depends on the Democrat. If he loses Florida, it's over. He has to hold all of the states that he held last time except for one. He can lose Wisconsin and still win the election. He could lose Pennsylvania as long as he holds Wisconsin and Michigan. But he cannot lose two of those three or the election is over. So Michigan is a crucial battleground state for him. Well, in the aftermath of the Mueller report's top-line findings being released, President Trump was ready to go on a rampage. And rampage he did last night in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Half the rally was about how much he hates the media and how much he despises the people who pushed the Russia collusion hoax. And then half the rally was dedicated to him actually attacking the Democratic positions. Now, all of this is good, right? All of this is good for Trump. Trump's pitch in 2020 is very simple. I have been targeted like no other president in history by the media. I have been called a Russian stooge for 2 years because they couldn't get over the fact that Hillary Clinton lost. And yet, in spite of that, we have made all of these gains on the economy, on foreign policy. We're rebuilding our military. We're cutting regulations. We're making it easier to do business. Imagine what a second term of this will be if the media get over themselves and actually allow me to do the work that I need to do. That's the argument that President Trump should be making headed into 2020. But President Trump is nothing if not, as he likes to call himself, a counterpuncher. This has its upsides and it has its downsides. And so we return to Campaign Trump. Campaign Trump, who, as I have described in the past, is a hammer in search of a nail. Sometimes he hits a nail, and it's very satisfying. And sometimes he hits a baby, and it is far less satisfying. Last night in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a pent-up crowd. I mean, the crowd was just ready to roar at the slightest provocation. Here was the President of the United States describing what he called the collusion delusion.
After 3 years of lies and smears and slander, the Russia hoax is finally dead. The collusion delusion is over. The special counsel completed its report and found no collusion and no obstruction.
Okay, so he's right about all of this, and this is a fair ground for him to go after the media and to go after the Democrats who lied about him for two continuous years on this basis. The president also suggested that this was the greatest hoax in history, which, frankly, it may well have been, considering that the media legitimately spent 2 years proclaiming that undoubtedly there would be evidence that he was a Russian cat's paw. You heard the same thing from members of the intelligence community. It really was astonishing. People talk about the failures of the intelligence community in the lead up to the war in Iraq. there was a widespread intelligence consensus from Israeli intelligence, British intelligence, French intelligence, German intelligence. There was widespread consensus that Saddam Hussein was developing WMD because Saddam Hussein wanted the world to think that he was, in fact, developing WMD. That was an intelligence failure. What we watched here was not an intelligence failure. What we watched here was members of the intelligence community leverage their institutional credibility on behalf of a narrative that was absolutely not true. We watched James Clapper, the former head of Obama's CIA, go out there in public and suggest that he actually was the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, go out there and suggest that he had special knowledge that President Trump was probably in league with the Russians. We heard the same thing from John Brennan, Obama's former CIA director, that he was going to, he had some inside baseball knowledge based on his institutional knowledge that suggested that Trump was all of these things. We watched members of the media come out nearly every day and simply suggest without benefit of evidence that it was absolutely clear the Trump campaign had thrown the election with the help of Russia. So when Trump says this is the greatest hoax in history, there is a pretty solid case to be made on this basis, at least in the history of American politics.
All of the current and former officials who paid for, promoted, and perpetuated the single greatest hoax in the history of politics in our country.
Okay, so obviously this is a basis for him to get the base revved up. The question is whether this is a basis for actually campaigning. And the more Trump focuses on this going forward and doesn't talk about his record, doesn't talk about what he has done, doesn't talk about what the Democrats are, the more he keeps the focus on himself as victim, I don't think that that is going to be a continuing effective strategy other than getting the base really revved up, which is good. You need a revved up base. But President Trump needs to win a bunch of voters who are in the middle. He needs to win suburban women. I'm not sure this mode carries him here. And the more worked up he gets over this, again, I think that that's not great strategy. I understand it on a personal level. If somebody had accused me of what they accused President Trump of, I'd want to go out there and club some folks too. I'd want to go out there and club the media like a baby seal, rhetorically speaking. But as a politician, I'm not sure this is the smartest strategy. Again, the more exercise Trump gets, the more off-putting he is, frankly, to suburban women in particular, people he needs to win in 2020. President Trump obviously got himself revved up. He has a friendly crowd here. Here he says that continuing probes, continuing investigations are ridiculous bull bleep. He just dropped some curse words.
The Democrats have to now decide whether they will continue defrauding the public with ridiculous bullshit. Partisan investigations, or whether they will apologize to the American people and join us to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure.
Okay, all of that is fine. Then he goes off the rails, and this is where he gets into bad Trump territory. So this is a pretty good episode, actually, of good Trump, bad Trump, which we haven't done in a while because the focus has largely been on the Democrats who are vying to compete with him. All of this is okay Trump to good Trump, and then he gets to bad Trump. And this is where he just starts slinging insults at people that he doesn't like. Now, I'm a podcast host. I can sling insults, although I try not to, particularly on the basis of physical appearance. President Trump has no such compunction. Here he goes after pencil neck Adam Schiff.
Little pencil neck Adam Schiff. He's got the smallest, thinnest neck I've ever seen. He is not a long ball hitter. But I saw him today. Well, we don't really know. There could still have been some Russia collusion.
Okay, it's funny. I'm sorry, that's funny. It's also not useful, but it's funny. But again, the president is not a stand-up comedian. Is it smart for him to be going back into stand-up comedy mode? This is what his base loves about him. I understand. I understand a lot of people find this entertaining. I find it entertaining. It is inherently funny. This is the thing about Trump that I think a lot of folks in the media don't understand. Folks on the left don't understand either. Dude's actually pretty funny. Right, dude, he plays a room as though he's an actual stand-up comedian. Is it smart, however, to go after Adam Schiff on the basis of his neck? Like, wouldn't you just go after Adam Schiff by saying that he's a dummy or a dunce or a liar? Like, that seems like a more solid grounding. On the basis of his neck? Look at him. He's got a turkey neck. Like Jennifer Lopez and Gia Gabba Gabba. That actually was not even the funniest thing that he said last night. The funniest thing that he said last night, he was talking for some reason about the Great Lakes, because Michigan is in the Great Lakes region, and he starts talking about how much he loves lakes. It's Come on, this stuff is funny, man.
I support the Great Lakes. Always up. They're beautiful. They're big. Very deep. Record deepness, right?
Okay. I got nothing, man. I got nothing. Again, none of this is going to particularly hurt President Trump. It's not going to hurt him. But his tendency to be President Trump is exactly the problem. Like, there was a speech here somewhere, but it was buried inside a comedy routine. And the comedy routine, comedy is great for people who agree with you. Comedy is not great for people who really disagree with you. Unless it's self-deprecating comedy. Self-deprecating comedy is popular with pretty much everybody. Trump has never made a self-deprecating remark, so it's nearly impossible to imagine him doing that. Comedy is great for all the people who like President Trump or who agree with his agenda or agree with him on these issues. For people who are torn on President Trump, it's not going to do him any significant favors. And again, I'm looking at this from the strategic point of view, not from the is it funny point of view, because from the it's funny point of view, I mean, it's just damned hilarious, obviously. Now, in a second, we're going to get to President Trump's actual attacks on Democrats, because the less he focuses on his victimization and the more he focuses on their garbage agenda, the better he is going to do. We'll get to that in just one second. First, admit it. You think cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You may think no one wants your data or that hackers can't grab your passwords or credit card details. You would be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi, that's one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you may as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see, which is why I decided to take action. To protect myself from cybercriminals, I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection, that only takes one click. Using ExpressVPN, I can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having my personal data stolen. For less than $7 a month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I have. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/ben. 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/ben to learn more. Okay, so as we say, President Trump launches this Michigan campaign, really his 2020 reelection campaign, off the basis of the Mueller report. And that just shows you how polarized our politics are, because usually the president launches his reelection campaign on the basis of here are all the great things that I've done. Instead, the president launches his triumphant reelection campaign on the basis of I'm not a Russian agent. So the goalposts have moved pretty radically here, and the Democrats are the ones who move them. Here's where President Trump, however, could be really effective, and that is attacking the Democratic agenda, because the Democratic agenda truly is radical, and most people understand that. He has two lines of attack here that are really useful. One is attacking the media, because people hate the media. People think the media are dishonest. Why? Well, because many in the media are, in fact, dishonest, whether they mean to be or whether they do not mean to be. Their confirmation bias makes it so that they cover the news in the least favorable way to conservatives that he can possibly find, and that obviously holds true for anyone who is even remotely right of center, including President Trump, who I don't think is actually an ideological conservative. So when Trump goes after the media, that's going to be a popular line with most Americans. Here's Trump saying the media have to be held accountable.
They have to be, I'm sorry, they have to be accountable.
And he is not wrong about that. That line was popular going all the way back to Newt Gingrich in 2012 when he was running for the nomination for the Republican Party. It continues to be popular today. Nobody thinks the media have done a good job on any of this stuff. So that is a fruitful line of attack for President Trump. Casting aspersions at the media that have attacked him incessantly, that attacked Bush incessantly, that attack everybody right of center incessantly, and people who are not even right of center, so long as they disagree, that will continue to be a fruitful line of attack. But he's really going to have to win on the basis of pointing at the Democrats. As I have said all along, if President Trump were capable of just being quiet and pointing, right, like Donald Sutherland, in that famous GIF, right? If he could just stand there, in like Donald Sutherland from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and point in horror at the Democrats, most Americans would immediately recoil in revulsion at what they saw. Coming up, President Trump didn't just go after the Mueller report. He didn't just go after the media. He also went after the Democrats. And this was good stuff, because frankly, if the president is going to win in 2020, he's going to need to attack Democratic policy, not just his personal enemies. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to bestwaternow.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE, 1-888-973-WAVE, or go to bestwaternow.com. That's bestwaternow.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So President Trump didn't just attack the Mueller report. He didn't just attack the Russian collusion hoax, as he described it. He also went after the Democrats. And this is productive ground for him. He started talking about the Green New Deal. The best boon that Trump has ever received is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. AOC is the id of the Democratic Party in the same way that Trump is the id of the Republican Party. Here's President Trump going after the stupid Green New Deal. Again, this is going to be a fruitful line of attack for Republicans and for the president.
The Democrats are now advancing an extreme $100 trillion government takeover called the Green New Deal. But I'd rather not talk about it tonight because I don't want to talk them out of it too soon. Because I love campaigning against the Green New Deal. I want them to make that a big part of their platform. No more airplanes, no more cows. One car per family, one car. You're going to love that in Michigan. Hey, how do you like the idea of one car per family? I don't think so. That's right.
This is where Trump is at his best. Comedy riffing on the Democrats? Yeah, man, I'm in for it. Listen to him go off on the power of windmills. The Democrats have been talking about the power of windmills for a long time, how wind power is suddenly going to power the United States. Fact. If you actually wanted to equal the amount of power that is currently being output by all of the carbon-based fuel systems in the United States, not including transportation, right, just the electrical grid, you would have to cover an area the size of California in windmills. That's what you would have to do. So good luck with that. Here's President Trump going after the windmills.
If Hillary got in, you wouldn't have that stat, I can tell you right now. You'd be doing windmills. And if it doesn't blow, you can forget about television for that night. Darling, I want to watch television. I'm sorry. The wind isn't blowing. I know a lot about wind.
little tag. I know a lot about wind. It's come on. He's so funny. if you can't laugh, then you have a heart of stone. Politicians who look like they're having a good time are more likely to win. This was true of Obama in 2008. He looked like he was having a better time than John McCain. It was true of 2012. Obama looked like he was having a better time than Mitt Romney. It was true of George W. Bush, who always looked like he was having a pretty good time. Sour Trump is not going to be supremely popular because people don't like sour people. But Trump laughing at the Democrats along with people, it's not a bad look for him. It really is not. And then President Trump goes after the Democrats for wanting to destroy people's private health insurance plans. He is not wrong about this either. Again, all he has to do is just point at the Democrats. If the American public focus on President Trump leading up to 2020, he's going to lose. If they focus on the Democrats, he will win.
The Democrats are pushing socialist, government-run health care that bans private health insurance for 180 million Americans. Now, think of it. A lot of you have private plans, and they're great. They're great. And you want that. They want to take them away. That's not going to work. I don't think that's going to work too well.
Of course, all of that is true. And then Trump goes after Democrats on abortion. And again, here he is correct again. This is clip 12.
In recent months, the Democrat Party has also been aggressively pushing extreme late-term abortion, allowing children to be ripped from their mother's womb right up until the moment of birth. And now we go a step further. In Virginia, the governor stated that he would even allow a newborn baby, wrap the baby up, make the baby comfortable, to be executed after birth.
Okay, again, all of this is accurate. The press will paint this as inaccurate. It is, in fact, not. They're trying to paint it as inaccurate when he went after the Green New Deal on the basis of even Democrats not supporting it. Here is Trump saying that Mazie Hirono, who is, in fact, perhaps the dumbest person in the United States Senate, which is a hell of a statement because there are a lot of dummies there. Here is President Trump suggesting that even Mazie Hirono knows that the Democratic Green New Deal is a mess.
She didn't know about the Green New Deal. And they hit her. And she's from Hawaii. What do you think of the Green New Deal? It was just put up by the Democrats. Well, I like it very much. But she never saw it. Then they said, but you can't fly anymore. And she's in Hawaii. She said, but how would I get to my island? They said, we're working on some kind of a train system. So she said, okay, well, then I am for it 100%. It is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, and this, of course, is a little bit apocryphal, but it is true that Mazie Hirono did ask some questions about how you would get rid of airplanes since she is, in fact, the senator from Hawaii. Now, what are the obstacles for President Trump leading up to 2020? Well, obstacle number one is President Trump saying stuff that is stupid, right? President Trump deciding to focus on issues that the American people aren't really focused on, or him deciding to fulminate about the Mueller report for the next couple of years, or him deciding that he is simply going to call names at the Democrats as opposed to going after their policies, which, again, is a fruitful line of attack. That could hurt him because, remember, it's not just about him getting out the base. The Republicans got out the base in 2018, and they lost by 8.6 points in the House popular vote. Obstacle number one is the president's personality. Obstacle number two is going to be the possibility of an economic downturn. And we are watching that. The economy is, in fact, slowing right now. We'll see whether it slows enough to actually slide into a downturn or whether it maintains its sort of low-level growth. He can survive low-level growth. If it downturns, he's got a problem. And then obstacle number three is the possibility that there are more headlines that are bad for him in sort of the Mueller, Michael Cohen, SDNY stuff. I think that possibility has been reduced pretty dramatically. Coming up, the president of the United States has been exonerated on collusion charges by the Mueller report. Democrats can't seem to accept that, but the Mueller report does make a pretty significant difference for President Trump. I will explain why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Believe All Ogre Again. DreamWorks Shrek the Musical is live on stage at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th.
And then I saw her face.
The characters you love, the magic you can't resist. Shrek the Musical is hysterically funny. People of all ages will enjoy this show. Shrek the Musical at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th. Tickets on sale now. Call 530-243-8877 or go to cascadetheater.org. Believe it.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Is back April 20th through the 28th.
Over a week of classic fun.
So dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th, and get your tickets now for the main event with over 2,000 classic cars on display Saturday, April 27th.
Discount pre-registration is on now until April 1st, so get your car registered today.
Discount advance tickets are available at all Napa Auto Parts stores. Avoid the lines and buy yours now. Don't miss the 30th annual Cool April Nights, April 20th through April 28th.
Oh, baby. For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com. Cool April Nights is sponsored in part by Wind River Resort and Casino. Visit Redding, KRCR Channel 7, Redding McDonald's, Lithia Chevrolet, Shasta Regional Medical Center, The Record Searchlight, and this radio station.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place.
OSPShasta.org/changetheculture.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Mueller report has cleared President Trump on all charges related to collusion with Russia, conspiracy with Russia. It's a pretty huge deal. Now we look at all of the contacts between members of the Trump team and members of the Russian government, and we say, yeah, they're just doofuses. And so if you're looking at the actions of Team Trump, and you are thinking that it was all nefarious criminality, and then Mueller comes out and says, no, it wasn't nefarious criminality. We looked at every aspect of this. It recasts everything as comedic as opposed to tragic. It recasts everything as these people were just dumb and incompetent as opposed to they were maliciously trying to interfere with the election. And so you go back and you look at people like George Papadopoulos, low-level Trump foreign policy aide, who met with a London professor who was, in fact, a Russian front. And here is Papadopoulos explaining that President Trump, you know, when he was talking during the campaign about how much he liked Vladimir Putin, that basically President Trump just wanted a better relationship with Russia. That's all this was.
By the time I joined the campaign in March of 2016, candidate Donald Trump was obviously very vocal about having some sort of working relationship with Russia. I told Donald Trump to his face and Jeff Sessions to his face at that infamous March 31st meeting that I can do this for you, and I think it's in the interest of the campaign. Jeff Sessions was very enthusiastic about it, and I proceeded until the campaign basically decided that it was better not to. I do think there was obviously a strategic logic behind working with Russia. Look, at the end of the day, if we don't work with Russia, you know, China's a huge threat to U.S. interests. They're in Syria, they're in eastern Ukraine, and that's what my firm belief is, why Donald Trump wanted to work with Russia.
So without Mueller's report, people would say, oh, well, this is obviously him lying. Right? Obviously, what he was trying to do was corrupt the 2016 election. With Mueller's report, just looks like the guy's being a dummy. Same thing is true for Donald Trump Jr. meeting with that Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya. Right? Rob Goldstone was the go-between. He's a music agent. He was the go-between on that deal. He was the one saying the Russians want to give you all sorts of info about Hillary Clinton. And here is Rob Goldstone saying, yeah, Donald Trump Jr. was down the chain. I mean, this is all just stupid stuff.
I never considered Don Jr. really a part of the campaign. You may have seen it. Again, it's in public testimony. I questioned whether I should send it to Mr. Trump via some method, whether it's his assistant. And then I decided to go way down on the food chain. And I chose Don Jr., because I'd met him a couple of times, to run it past him enough to put him in touch with my client. I think I was ignorant and oblivious. And I think if I had to guess, he was marginally more or marginally less ignorant and oblivious than I was.
Right. And that's absolutely plausible. I mean, folks, if you're not watching the video, if you can't actually see the video of Rob Goldstone, look at that guy and tell me that he's a criminal mastermind who's somehow linking up the Russian government with the Trump campaign so as to pervert America's elections. Guy's a doofus. He's a doofus. And so the Mueller report does, in many ways, allow us to see through the prism that I've been using all along, which is that most people are stupid rather than malicious. Nonetheless, Democrats are still trying to hang their last hopes on the Mueller report. They're trying to suggest that maybe there's something in the Mueller report that was not revealed in Attorney General William Barr's synopsis of the Mueller report. The Wall Street Journal reporting today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi criticized Attorney General William Barr on Thursday over his handling of the special counsel's report, pressing the case for the full release of the document as President Trump and Republicans continue to claim vindication in the Russia probe. Pelosi said that the summary Barr provided to lawmakers last weekend was well short of what Congress required. Show us the report and we can draw our own conclusions, she said. She said, we don't need you interpreting it for us, to William Barr. She said it was condescending, it was arrogant, it wasn't the right thing to do. Right? She would have preferred another month of speculation over the Mueller report to simply understanding the top-line results and revelation of the report itself, which will happen in the next few weeks. Okay, this thing is not going to remain secret. Democrats who are hoping that there will be some other breaking news, here's what's going to happen. The 300-page report will come out. There will be a couple of details that we didn't know about. And the media will blow these up to cataclysmic proportions. They will suggest that William Barr, the Attorney General, shut down an actual obstruction charge, that actually there was deep corruption, that actually, even though Mueller concluded no collusion, there was, in fact, deep-seated collusion. And the American public will go, nope, sorry. You guys said that Mueller was going to save all of you. He didn't, so nope, you're done. You don't get a second bite at this apple. You do not get a second shot at bat after you spend some $25 million with 40 DOJ attorneys on this case and worship at the altar of Robert Mueller. He doesn't give you what you want. You don't get to change your God now. That is not something that you get to do. So I don't think Trump is particularly vulnerable there, which means that the chief obstacle to President Trump's reelection is not going to be from Mueller. Now, maybe there's an obstacle from the SDNY. Maybe the SDNY brings down some sort of campaign finance charge against President Trump. But even that, I really don't see a world where the American public care very much about that sort of stuff. It's all baked into the cake. The collusion stuff was not baked into the cake. It wasn't. It might have been the only thing not baked into Trump's cake, because the accusation was so incredibly wide, broad, and scary that if it had been true, it would have taken down Trump. But campaign finance stuff, him paying off ladies, that ain't going to cut it. That ain't going to cut it, which means that the chief obstacle to Trump's reelection remains President Trump's personality. Can he be disciplined in any way? And if he can be disciplined, if he allows the focus to be on the Democrats, I think that he has a pretty good shot at reelection, which is something I didn't think I'd be saying 6 months ago. Okay, in a second, we're going to get to updates on the Jussie Smollett case, and we'll jump into the mailbag. But first, if you're in debt to the IRS, there's a lot you need to know. My number one rule, don't mess with the IRS. You really don't want to get on their bad side. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, even take your home or business. But hear this, there is a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars. Nobody knows this program like my friends at Optima Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and they've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. They will stand between you and the IRS and fight to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need and can trust, call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-956-6166. That's 800-956-6166. 800-956-6166. Optima Tax Relief, these are the people you want standing next to you when you face down the IRS. They have tons of experience, and they've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt. 800-956-6166. That's 800-956-6166. All righty. So, updates in the Jussie Smollett case. President Trump did not leave the Jussie Smollett case alone. He jumped into it. And people on the left who are ripping him for doing this, I have a couple of words for you. Barack Obama, Ferguson, Missouri. Barack Obama, New York. Barack Obama, Trayvon Martin. Okay, so I'm not a big fan of the President of the United States jumping into what are effectively local scandals. Trump didn't start this process. Okay, here's President Trump going after Jussie Smollett.
I think the case in Chicago is an absolute embarrassment to our country. And I have asked that it be, that they look at it. I think that case is an absolute embarrassment to our country, and somebody has to at least take a very good, hard look at it.
Okay, and he is not wrong about this. They are taking a good, hard look at this right now. Illinois Prosecutors Bar Association may be looking at disbarring Kim Fox, the state's attorney in this case. They put out a statement yesterday saying, the Illinois Prosecutors Bar Association serves as the voice for nearly 1,000 frontline prosecutors across the state who work tirelessly toward the pursuit of justice. The events of the past few days regarding the Cook County State's Attorney's handling of the Jussie Smollett case is not condoned by the IPBA, nor is it representative of the honest, ethical work prosecutors provide to the citizens of the state of Illinois on a daily basis. The manner in which this case was dismissed was abnormal and unfamiliar to those who practice law in criminal courthouses across the state. Prosecutors, defense attorneys, judges alike do not recognize the arrangement Mr. Smollett received. I mean, this is brutal. Even more problematic, the state's attorneys and her representatives have fundamentally misled the public on the law and the circumstances surrounding the dismissal. The public has the right to know the truth. We set out to do that here. When an elected state attorney recuses herself from a prosecution, Illinois law provides the court shall appoint a special prosecutor. Here, the state's attorney kept the case within her office and thus never actually recused herself as a matter of law. Additionally, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office falsely informed the public that the uncontested sealing of the criminal court case was mandatory under Illinois law. This statement is not accurate. To the extent the case was even eligible for an immediate seal, that action was discretionary, not mandatory, and only upon a proper filing of a motion to seal. The state's attorney not only declined to fight the sealing of this case in court, but she then provided false information to the public regarding it. The appearance of impropriety here is compounded by the fact that this case was not on the regularly scheduled court call. The public had no reasonable notice or opportunity to view the proceedings, and the dismissal was done abruptly at what has been called an emergency hearing. To date, the nature of the purported emergency has not been publicly disclosed. The sealing of a court case immediately following a hearing where there was no reasonable notice or opportunity for the public to attend is a matter of grave public concern and undermines the very foundation of our public court system. Lastly, the state's attorney has claimed this arrangement is available to all defendants and not a new or unusual practice. There has even been an implication it was done in accordance with a statutory diversion program. These statements are plainly misleading and inaccurate. This action was highly unusual, not a statutory diversion program, and not in accordance with well-accepted practices of state's attorney-initiated diversionary programs. The IPBA supports diversion programs and recognizes the many benefits they provide to the community, the defendant, and the prosecuting agency. Central to any diversion program, however, is that the defendant must accept responsibility. To be clear here, this simply was not a deferred prosecution. We strongly encourage our members and the public to review the National District Attorneys Association statement on prosecutorial best practices in high-profile cases. And that is a letter from the president of the Illinois Prosecutors Bar Association. I would not be surprised if Kim Fox ends up disbarred here. And she should be disbarred. By the way, a statement to USA Today on Wednesday shows that a top aide to Michelle Obama addressed reports that she had emailed Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox to request on behalf of the Smollett's that the investigation be taken out of the hands of Chicago PD. She acknowledges that she did that. I mean, it's amazing stuff. It's an amazing case. And again, the fact that this was dismissed, Kim Fox may find herself in the legal crosshairs, and she probably should. As we mentioned yesterday, Jussie Smollett's attorneys are going out there and now claiming that when Jussie Smollett hired these two Nigerian brothers to attack him in the city of Chicago, when he did that, and then described them as white people to police, he wasn't lying to police. Maybe it was the Nigerian brothers wearing whiteface to attack him in a hoax, in a hate crime that he was not involved in the first place. Naturally, the Nigerian brothers' lawyers, they're like, this is insane. You're suggesting that my clients wore whiteface underneath a ski mask? That's your claim?
He said that the brothers could have been wearing whiteface that night.
I heard that, and I think that's absolutely just atrocious. It adds to, I think, why people are giving lawyers a bad name. It's to distract from the real issues here, and by putting out conspiracy theories that perhaps my clients were wearing whiteface. It just adds to the ridiculous and the offensiveness of this entire thing.
Yeah, the fact that the media are even taking seriously that contention demonstrates an actual racial bias on the part of the media, and that is they will grant a lot more credibility to somebody like Jussie Smollett than if it were a white person who were declaring some sort of crime had been committed against them falsely. There's just no question that the media are doing that. The media are granting Smollett all sorts of credibility they would not grant to anybody else, and it's insane. It's fully crazy. But that's not unusual. The media are apparently willing to condone racism depending on the person from whom the racism emanates, because the broader narrative is that America is racist against black people, not that people like Jussie Smollett are seeking to slander white people as racist against people like Jussie Smollett. Another indicator that the media are willing to not only look the other way but incentivize this sort of racism comes in today's New York Times. There's an article in today's New York Times by a person named Christopher Rivas. It is called this, quote, "I broke up with her because she's white. When it comes to dating, I'd rather not think about race, but that's been hard to avoid." This entire op-ed in the New York Times is about a man who says that he will no longer date white women because he's uncomfortable dating white women. He says, "Over the years, I have dated brown women and black women, but mostly white women. I hadn't thought about why that was, but when some brown and black people in my community started giving me a hard time about dating white women, I sensed they'd be happier if I stopped. I also got weird vibes from some white people, namely the parents of the woman that I was dating. The ones who asked me if I speak Mexican, that is absolutely a thing. The real reason I think I can no longer date white women isn't any of that. It's because in today's hashtag woke society, there's mad pressure to be hashtag woke, to be aware of the implications of whom you're attracted to and why, which means that in the eyes of others, the color of the women I date is a big deal, like I'm the problem, like I'm betraying my people if I date white women. But I was taught that we were all one people. I see people watching me with a stink eye, noses turned up, as if they think black and brown people would somehow be better off if I dump my white girlfriend. It's a lot of pressure." And then he says he started reading James Baldwin, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and other black and brown authors looking for guidance, a roadmap, help on what it means to be a brown man in the world. Like, yes, our bodies have been colonized. Yes, I am a child of blackness. How did we get here? If everybody is so woke, why are things so terrible? Maybe everybody isn't so woke. And so he says that he stopped dating white women because he has doubts about how society sees him. Pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing stuff. But the New York Times prints that piece. It's just incredible. Okay. Coming up, we're going to jump into the mailbag. You ask the questions, and I've got the answers. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to bestwaternow.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE, 1-888-973-WAVE, or go to bestwaternow.com. That's bestwaternow.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. On Friday, at this time every week, we do the mailbag. So let's jump right in. Mailbag time. Micah says, hey, Ben, I'm a huge fan of the show. I was talking about capital punishment the other day with a friend and was wondering what your view was concerning capital punishment. A lot of people say it's right because murderers can't decide when to end someone's life. But the rebuttal is that if they can't, neither can the justice system. No, that's a bad rebuttal because normally you're not allowed to kidnap people and keep them in a locked room for 20 years. The justice system can do that if you have committed a crime. So the justice system exists for two purposes. One is retributive justice, the idea you paid the crime, you did the crime, you do the time, and the other is protection of you from the public. Some people think rehabilitation is in the cards for the justice system. Typically speaking, rehabilitation programs have not been wildly successful. There are some success stories, but overall, not so much. When people talk about the decline in crime rates, that's not the success of rehabilitation systems. That is the so-called mass incarceration that's taken place. Lots of criminals going to prison means fewer criminals out on the street. As far as capital punishment, in concept, I'm in favor of capital punishment. The way that it's practiced currently in the United States, I have serious doubts about it. There's certainly people who deserve to die. If you rape and murder a child, you should be put to death. If, however, we are only doing this on a sporadic basis and you sit 30 years on death row and you get tons of appeals and the criminal justice system only unevenly applies the death penalty, not based on crime, then I think there are serious questions to be asked about the system of the death penalty in the United States, but the application of the death penalty to particular people, I don't really have a huge problem with that. John says, hi, Ben. Congratulations on the new book. Mine is on the way. Well, I appreciate it. The book, by the way, Right Side of History. Free pitch for you. I was wondering what your view was on birthright citizenship as a part of the 14th Amendment. Was that concept intended in the actual text of the law itself back when it was written, or is it a more modern legal interpretation? Thanks for your thoughts. Have a great weekend. This is a very controversial area of constitutional law. So the idea of birthright citizenship does have some roots in English common law, the idea that if you're born in Britain, you are a citizen of Britain. With that said, it is true that in the 14th Amendment, it says born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, meaning that if you are a citizen of a foreign country and you have a baby here, that baby may be subject to the jurisdiction of the foreign country, which is why, for example, diplomats who have kids in the United States, their kids don't become automatic American citizens because they are subject to a foreign jurisdiction. I think that there's a pretty good case to be made that the 14th Amendment was not meant to apply to everybody, that it wasn't meant to apply to everyone born in the United States. With that said, it's obviously embedded in both American law and American politics at this point. It's not going to end anytime soon. And thus, I think that it's sort of a moot point on practical grounds. If you want to read the two sides of this, I believe John Yoo has written in favor of birthright citizenship, and I know that the folks over at the Center for Immigration Studies, including people like John Eastman, have written against birthright citizenship. You can read both sides of the case there. Oprah says, hey, Ben, if a Democrat becomes president in the future, how would this affect the U.S.-Israeli relations? Would the recognition of Jerusalem and the Golan Heights be overruled or even worse? I don't know the answer to that, considering the anti-Semitic direction of the Democratic Party. Open anti-Semites in the Democratic Party have now been approved. They've been given the stamp of approval. I have proof for this. Here's Barack Obama, a picture of Barack Obama today with Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib is an anti-Semite. Rashida Tlaib has suggested that Jewish Americans and Israel supporters are subject to dual loyalty. She has supported groups that have connections to terrorism, like CARE. She is a supporter of the racist, anti-Semitic, and evil Boycott, Divest, and Sanctions program, which is largely sponsored by advocates of terror, particularly in the Middle East. Here she is with Barack Obama. And listen, I think taking a picture next to a politician doesn't mean that you endorse everything the politician does, but this is a little bit different. Here's what she tweeted. Barack Obama met with us, new members of Congress, and we had a thoughtful discussion about serving our country. The best part was when he looked straight at me and said, I'm proud of you. For what? For what? By the way, it also came out today that Barack Obama's administration was planning the unleashing of that horrible, evil UN Security Council resolution that condemned Israel for defending itself in 2016. Just before Barack Obama left office, the United States abstained from resolution condemning Israel. It was Obama's administration, reportedly, according to a former Obama aide, who coordinated that resolution. So I'm very afraid for the future of U.S.-Israel relations if the Democrats re-enter power, because obviously the base of the party doesn't like Israel. They've decided that the basis of social justice requires them to support Israel's enemies, despite the fact that Israel is in every way more free, democratic, and liberal than any of the countries that surround it, and that certainly includes the terrorist-governed Palestinians. Jacob says, hey, Ben, long-time listener, first-time subscriber. My first act as a subscriber is this question. What is the reasoning behind Senator Harris's theme music? And shouldn't it be definitely Snoop, Tupac for sure? Also, if you will, where do you think the future of space exploration lies? Has government ruined that, too? Well, I think that the future of space exploration lies in private industry. You're seeing that with Elon Musk right now and the SpaceX program, and I think that's good. I don't think that governments necessarily have to be the driving force behind space exploration. With that said, do I think that the American space program has been underfunded? I do, because not only has it provided enormous technological improvement, it is also a common goal to which I think we can aspire.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines says it looks like we'll get our first look at the Mueller report by mid-April at the latest.
Attorney General William Barr says he's well along in the process of redacting portions of the report required by law or that contain sensitive information, and he expects to send it to Congress by mid-April, if not sooner. On another issue, he says the four-page letter he sent to Congress last Sunday has been mischaracterized as a summary of the report. He says it's a summary of the principal conclusions and that he doesn't believe it would serve the public's interest to attempt to summarize the entire report, which he notes runs nearly 400 pages.
President Donald Trump is threatening drastic action against Mexico, declaring that he will shut down America's southern border next week unless Mexican authorities immediately halt all illegal immigration into the United States.
They can stop them, but they chose not to. Now they're going to stop them. And if they don't stop them, we're closing the border. They'll close it, and we'll keep it closed for a long time. I'm not playing games.
The current situation allows potential terrorist access into the U.S., military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis.
In this innocent immigrant seeking a better life can get across without being stopped, and they can as well. And so this is of some magnitude, and I think the president's statements are not too strong, that we need to get a handle over this.
Boeing faces pressure to fix a flight control system suspected of playing a role in two deadly crashes so that it can get its MAX airliners back in the skies. Company engineers and test pilots were working to fix anti-stall technology, which must win approval by the Federal Aviation Administration, as well as regulators around the world. Meanwhile, the Boeing 737 MAX remains grounded. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Come on, kid. We're late.
Honey, the car won't start.
Mom, the dog just sat on my science project.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to GetEthos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. GetEthos.com. GetEthos.com.
Thousands of Algerians are participating in Algiers in a sixth straight Friday of mass anti-government protests.
Algeria's political elites are jostling for power after a month of mass protests forced the ailing president, Abdelaziz Bouteflika, to abandon his bid for a fifth term in office. The final nail in the coffin came from the ruling party, the FLN, declaring that the 82-year-old was unfit to rule. There are fears that the army could take over and an appeal for it to protect a democratic transition. In the meantime, all eyes are on the Constitutional Council, whose role is to set the wheels in motion.
That's the BBC's Youssef Tata. Hyundai has found a new problem that can cause its car engines to fail or catch fire, issuing yet another recall to fix problems that have affected more than 6 million vehicles during the past 3.5 years. The Korean automaker recalling about 20,000 Veloster cars in the U.S. and Canada. News and analysis at townhall.com. Chinese tech giant Huawei says its 2018 sales surged above $100 billion.
Huawei Technology says sales rose 19.5% over 2017 to $105.2 billion. That was driven by double-digit gains for its consumer and enterprise units, while the company said sales to phone and internet carriers were unchanged at $62.3 billion. The flat sales figure comes amid U.S. warnings to other governments that Huawei's telecom technology is a security risk. Huawei denies U.S. accusations it facilitates Chinese spying.
That is correspondent Jeremy House. U.S. pressure on American allies to shun Huawei threatens to hamper its access to markets as carriers prepare to invest billions of dollars in fifth-generation or 5G technology. An executive of Huawei remains in custody in Canada awaiting extradition to the U.S. for trying to run around sanctions against Iran. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A timeless classic comes to life on stage in Reading. Come watch as two California workmen travel along the Sacramento River. The story of gruff yet kind-hearted George and his simple and misunderstood friend Lenny. Starring Russell Payette and Don Tamblyn, along with an all-star cast that is sure to tug at your heartstrings. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 23rd through April 20th.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you this hour. In just a little while, I have to tell you the story of Joe Biden, who apparently got too close to a lady, and now she is talking about it publicly. That is bad news for the former vice president, whose campaign is already stumbling before it even leaves the gate. Also, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be having on Sand Aho. He's a former Army sergeant who is witness to an act of courage that ended with a Medal of Honor for a fallen comrade. He's going to be joining us. President Trump just gave the Medal of Honor to this fallen comrade. The former Army sergeant will join us to tell his story. We have a lot coming up, but we begin at this hour with some breaking news. Apparently, Attorney General William Barr has now issued a letter to the Judiciary Committees in the House and the Senate informing them of an update on the Mueller report. As we know, the left has been proclaiming that President Trump and Attorney General William Barr are hiding the Mueller report, that somehow they have created a summary of the Mueller report so as to avoid its final conclusions, or at least to summarize the final conclusions but avoid the underlying material. That's been nonsense from the start. I've been saying it's nonsense because the fact is that Robert Mueller has come out and knocked down rumors before. When BuzzFeed published a story suggesting that big-name indictments were on the way, Mueller came out and said, ah, yeah, that's not true. So why would he sit by and watch William Barr subsume his work, take his work and just toss it? He's not going to do that. And as it turns out, he didn't, and he isn't. So here is the letter from the Attorney General to the Judiciary Committees. Quote, Dear Chairman Graham, that's Lindsey Graham, and Chairman Nadler, that's Jerry Nadler, I write in response to Chairman Nadler's March 25th, 2019 letter and Chairman Graham's March 27th, 2019 letter, which addressed the investigation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller and the confidential report he has submitted to me pursuant to 28 CFR Section 600.8C. As we have discussed, I share your desire to ensure that Congress and the public have an opportunity to read the Special Counsel's report. We are preparing the report for release, making the redactions that are required. The Special Counsel is assisting us in this process. So let me stop right there. The special counsel is assisting us in this process. In other words, Robert Mueller is not going to allow Robert Mueller's report to be redacted beyond what needs to be redacted. He wrote the report. So Robert Mueller is sitting there every step of the way and assisting in the redactions. So he has to sign off on this stuff, presumably. Now, that means that all of the rumors about Mueller somehow being squirreled away and his report being torn apart or pages of it being redacted, that is just not true. So media fail, Democratic fail, number one. The letter continues. Specifically, we are well along in the process of identifying and redacting the following. One, materials subject to Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 6E that by law cannot be made public. Two, material the intelligence community identifies as potentially compromising sensitive sources and methods, in other words, revealing spies. Three, material that could affect other ongoing matters, including those that the special counsel has referred to other department offices. So presumably that could include both the Paul Manafort indictment. It could also include the stuff that is referred to the Southern District of New York. And four, information that would unduly infringe on the personal privacy and reputational interests of peripheral third parties. President Trump would not be a peripheral third party. Our progress is such that I anticipate we will be in a position to release the report by mid-April, if not sooner. Okay, media and Democratic fail number two. They've been claiming that this report would probably be buried. We wouldn't find out about it for months. Now you got Barr saying, okay, guys, it's already March 29th. So within 2 weeks, you're going to be looking at this report. He says, although the president would have the right to assert privilege over certain parts of the report, He has stated publicly he intends to defer to me, and accordingly, there are no plans to submit the report to the White House for a privilege review. And that is myth number three busted. The media and Democrats saying President Trump was certainly going to assert executive privilege. As it turns out, only one president in the recent past has asserted executive privilege to protect himself from charges of corruption. That president's name rhymes with Shmarak Bojama. And that guy, if you'll recall, asserted executive privilege in order to protect his attorney general, Eric Holder, from charges that he was complicit in the Fast and Furious scandal. So if you're talking about corruption and lack of transparency, don't look at Trump and don't look at Barr. The letter says, also, I'm aware of some media reports and other public statements mischaracterizing my March 24th, 2019 supplemental notification as a summary of the special counsel's investigation and report. For example, Chairman Nadler's March 25th letter reviews my supplemental notification as a four-page summary of the special counsel's review. My March 24th letter was not and did not purport to be an exhaustive recounting of the special counsel's investigation or report. As my letter made clear, my notification to Congress and the public provided, pending release of the report, a summary of its principal conclusions, that is, its bottom line. The special counsel's report is nearly 400 pages long, exclusive of tables and appendices, and sets forth the special counsel's findings, his analysis, and the reasons for his conclusions. Everyone will soon be able to read it on their own. I do not believe it would be in the public's interest for me to attempt to summarize the full report or release it in serial or piecemeal fashion. So there goes myth number five, if I have my count straight here, which is that they would not release the whole report. You wouldn't be able to read it on your own. It would never be released. It would, in fact, be buried. And that was put out there preemptively, and it turns out not to be true. As I have discussed with both of you, says William Barr, I believe it would be appropriate for me to testify publicly on behalf of the department shortly after the special counsel's report is made public. In other words, myth number six, he's not going to show up and answer questions. Yes, he will. He will sit in front of you and defend every redaction. He will sit in front of Democrats and explain why certain things were not released. And he will explain how the process worked. So this is not somebody who's hiding, and this is somebody who is not bearing material. I'm currently available to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee on May 1st, 2019, and before the House Judiciary Committee May 2nd, 2019. Finally, in the interest of keeping the public informed as to these matters, I intend to make this letter public after delivering it to you. Sincerely, Attorney General William P. Barr. So much for the stupid narrative that the Mueller report was going to be buried. So much for the dumb, lying narrative. So much for the dumb, lying narrative that President Trump was going to personally interfere to ensure that the underlying material was never released. So much for the idiotic narrative that William Barr was not going to perform his legal duty or that Robert Mueller was going to be handcuffed, bound and gagged, and tossed into the back of a trunk somewhere so that he wouldn't be able to speak publicly. None of that was true. Again, and then the media moved so quickly to change the goalposts, it was almost astonishing. Remember, just at the beginning of this week, it seems like 84 years ago, but just at the beginning of this week, the Mueller report's findings were released. That was on Sunday. Within hours, the Democrats and the media were claiming that a cover-up was in progress. If they just waited a couple of days, then they would have known that a cover-up was, in fact, not in progress. The conspiratorial mindset that has taken over the media, attempting to defend itself from charges that it botched the story. So now they're saying, well, you know, maybe we didn't botch the story. Maybe secretly there's still information out there. And it is amazing, again, to watch members of the left-wing media particularly shift the goalpost in every single way. So to take an example, Will Salatan over at Slate, which is a silly publication. William Salatan wrote a piece today saying, Trump isn't just a traitor on Russia. He's a traitor on everybody because he's nice to Kim Jong-un. And because he's nice to Erdogan. Okay, you can critique Trump's policies with Kim Jong-un and the Turkish dictator Erdogan. I do. But to suggest he is a traitor based on him being nice to dictators, that's not what you were claiming. You were claiming he was a traitor, like execution-worthy traitor, like throw-him-in-jail traitor, that he actually sold out the United States when he was a candidate to the Russian government. That obviously was not true. And now all your myths are coming down on you? No wonder your credibility is in tatters. Speaking of the media's credibility being in tatters, astonishing, astonishing story today. Astonishing story from Yashar Ali. So Yashar is an independent journalist, and he does an amazing job. And his story today is truly astonishing. I mean, it's just amazing journalism. Amazing journalism. Here is his story. He revealed on Friday that the managing political editor for NBC News, and MSNBC. So the managing political editor. Remember, CNN was not allowed to hire a member of the Trump administration to be one of their political editors. It would have been too politicized. But NBC News and MSNBC bullied him on behalf of the Democratic National Committee into holding a scoop that he broke yesterday. This is according to Ryan Saavedra over at DailyWire.com. Yashar Ali tweeted this. He said, "Yesterday I received a call from Daphna Linzer, who serves as managing editor of NBC/MSNBC Politics. Daphna's conduct during the call was highly inappropriate and unethical. So what was the purpose of her call? She called me to bully on behalf of the DNC." He continues, "Daphna, who oversees the political coverage for NBC and MSNBC, was calling to bully me into delaying the publication of an innocuous scoop, and at no point did she advocate for her network. It was only about the DNC. Yesterday morning, I received a tip from a trusted source. The source told me the DNC would be announcing the dates of the first 2020 primary debates later that day. The source gave me the dates they would be announcing, June 26th and 27th. At first, I thought it was just a fun tidbit that I could tweet out," Yashar Ali writes, "but after I called several presidential campaign staffers, I learned that all the Democratic campaigns were desperate to learn what the dates were going to be. I decided to post the scoop as an item in my newsletter. This wasn't a huge scoop, but it was a decent one, so I quickly called the DNC to fact-check the tip as I was running out of time. The dates would be announced on MSNBC in the 4 p.m. hour. It's important to note, almost all my communication with the DNC was off record." I'll tell you the rest of the story in just a second, but MSNBC intervening in this process, unbelievable. Journalisming all over the place. Just crazy. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, let's talk about improving the look and feel of your home. If you want to do that without spending a fortune, you may have ideas, but you don't know where to start. That's where SelectBlinds.com comes in. Select Blinds will make an instant impact on the way you look at your space. With Select Blinds, you can swap out tired old window coverings for high-quality, easy-to-install blinds. Upgrading your home with Select Blinds, it's so easy, it's a no-brainer. Score amazing deals on blinds, shades, and shutters today from SelectBlinds.com. With products you've seen on all your favorite home improvement shows, SelectBlinds.com is the easy way to upgrade. Select Blinds takes the guesswork out of ordering blinds online. They offer high-quality blinds for an unbelievable price. After your new blinds are taken care of, get back to the important stuff, relaxing in your new and improved space. Read more than 300,000 reviews from a million happy customers at SelectBlinds.com. To get the best deals on blinds, shades, and shutters, shop today at SelectBlinds.com. Remember, mention our show at checkout using the drop-down menu, Select Blinds. Simple, smart, custom. Check them out at SelectBlinds.com. That is SelectBlinds.com. Remember, mention our show at checkout. Let them know we sent you, SelectBlinds.com. Okay, so Yashar Ali, an independent journalist, recounting what happened to him yesterday. So, to recap, he got a scoop that the DNC was going to hold its first debate on June 26th and 27th. He said that he was talking to the DNC, and the DNC asked if they could call him back. A few minutes later, says Yashar Ali, they called back and asked if I could delay posting my scoop for another hour so they could go through their important notifications and calls to state parties. I told them I couldn't wait as the news would leak and leave me without a story. That's all I can say about the call. 2 minutes later, I received a call from Daphna. Remember, Daphna is the head, the politics editor at MSNBC and NBC. Quote, "I've never spoken to Daphna by phone. A couple of years ago, she reached out to me to see if I wanted to have coffee and talk about working at NBC News, but I declined as I was actively investigating NBC matters and thought it would be strange if I discussed a job. So when I saw Daphna calling, I assumed she would ask me to consider delaying my post so that MSNBC could announce it first. Given that this was an innocuous scoop and not some investigative story, I wouldn't have lost sleep if I had delayed, but that's not why she was calling. After exchanging pleasantries," writes Yashar Ali, "Daphna told me she received a call from the DNC and was told I had a story. Now, it's not strange that the DNC called her. They were coordinating an announcement. What was strange was that she was calling me and taking a menacing tone. She asked if I could hold the story, and I said I couldn't. She was agitated. Why not? I said, I'm not going to lose the scoop. Then she got angrier and said, why not? It's not a big deal. Let them make a few phone calls. My jaw dropped. I realized that Daphna Linzer, the head of all political coverage for NBC News and MSNBC, was not calling to advocate for her network. She was calling to advocate the DNC's position. She wanted me to wait so they could call state party leaders. I thought to myself, this is how people think it works, and it's not. But Daphna was doing it. She kept pressing me. Now, I acknowledged for stuff that isn't about serious investigative reporting, there's no problem holding something, but I knew once others got the call, I would lose a scoop. Daphna reminded me she was a national security reporter at the Washington Post for 10 years, and they would hold stuff all the time, so people wouldn't get killed. Why can't you just wait, let them make their calls, then you'll be the first to put it into print?" Yashar continued, "I couldn't believe what she was saying. Again, it was fine for me to print the story an hour later, beat her own network by 3 hours. She just wanted me to let the DNC inform state party leaders. Why the hell did she care? I kept telling Daphna no, I wasn't waiting. She kept getting more frustrated. She was exasperated. She didn't understand why I couldn't wait for the DNC to make their state notification calls. I was so surprised that she was talking this way with a total stranger. The head of the political division was trying to bully me at the behest of the DNC over a dumb scoop. Two-thirds of the way into the conversation, Daphna started a sentence with, "This is off the record." She hadn't said it at the beginning of our conversation. Most important, at no point did I agree. I'm not one of those gotcha reporters. I think it's bad sourcing. I think it's bad for sourcing relationships to make people feel like they constantly feel like they have to stay off record. But Daphna isn't a source, and she was calling to intimidate me, so she doesn't get the benefit. Apparently, he said that she was trying to intimidate me on behalf of the DNC, and he published the stupid scoop. And then he called a bunch of prominent reporters and told them the story. He says they were all stunned by what Daphna did and encouraged me to share it publicly. What Daphna did was unethical. Perfectly obvious. By the way, NBC, PR, and Linzer have no comments on Ali's thread. Unbelievable. So the head of politics editing at NBC and MSNBC was doing open bidding for the DNC. These people are so objective, man. Journalism like you've never seen before. Okay, in just a second, we're going to be having on an American hero. He'll be joining us shortly, former Army Sergeant Sand Aho, who witnessed an act of courage so great that President Trump awarded it with the Medal of Honor. We'll get to that in a second. First, I need to take a moment to remind you there's a whole other world to this radio show over at DailyWire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to the Ben Shapiro Show? Stop it. Don't let it happen again. Go to DailyWire.com. You can watch all 3 hours of my radio show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome face. Not only do you get my show, you also get people like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh. And if for some reason you want Michael Moles, you can, frankly, you can take him. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement. They will keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure to also check out the new Daily Wire store at Amazon.com. You can get Daily Wire merch, all sorts of great stuff. DailyWire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. Alrighty. Coming up, we'll be joined by former Army Sergeant Sand Aho. He's going to tell us an amazing story of heroism that ended with President Trump handing out a Medal of Honor. He was at the ceremony yesterday. We'll talk to him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. All right, so the fact is that Joe Biden is a creeper. He's a creeper. We need some Joe Biden creepy music.
Can't keep my hands to myself.
Yeah, this is not according to me. This is according to a lady named Lucy Flores, who is now writing for The Cut. The piece is titled, An Awkward Kiss Changed How I Saw Joe Biden. Ooh, that's not going to be good. In 2014, I was the 35-year-old Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor in Nevada. The landscape wasn't looking good for my party that year. There were no high-profile national races to help boost turnout. And after the top candidate bowed out of the governor's race, none of the above ended up winning the Democratic primary. So when my campaign heard from VP Joe Biden's office that he was looking to help me and other Democrats in the state, I was grateful and flattered. So this lady went to an event, and Biden was there, and so was Eva Longoria, who's co-founder of the Latino Victory Project. And here is what she says happened. I found my way to the holding room for the speakers, where everyone was chatting, taking photos, and getting ready to speak to the hundreds of voters in the audience. Just before the speeches, we were ushered to the side of the stage where we were lined up by order of introduction. As I was taking deep breaths and preparing myself to make my case to the crowd, I felt two hands on my shoulders. I froze. Why is the Vice President of the United States touching me? I felt him get closer to me from behind. He leaned further in and inhaled my hair. I was mortified. I thought to myself, I didn't wash my hair today, and the Vice President of the United States is smelling it. And also, what in the actual F? Why is the Vice President of the United States smelling my hair? He proceeded to plant a big, slow kiss on the back of my head. My brain couldn't process what was happening. I was embarrassed. I was shocked. I was confused. There's a Spanish saying, tragame tierra. It means earth, swallow me whole. I couldn't move, and I couldn't say anything. I wanted nothing more than to get Biden away from me. My name was called, and I was never happier to get on stage in front of an audience. By then, as a young Latina in politics, I'd gotten used to feeling like an outsider in rooms dominated by white men, but I'd never experienced anything so blatantly inappropriate and unnerving before. Biden was the second most powerful man in the country and arguably one of the most powerful men in the world. He was there to promote me as the right person for the lieutenant governor job. Instead, he made me feel uneasy, gross, and confused. The Vice President of the United States of America had just touched me in an intimate way reserved for close friends, family, or romantic partners, and I felt powerless to do anything about it. She says, imagine you're at work and a male colleague who you have no personal relationship with approaches you from behind, smells your hair, and kisses you on the head. Now imagine it's the CEO of the company. If Biden and I worked together in a traditional office, I would have complained to the HR department. But on the campaign trail, there's no clear path for what to do when a powerful man crosses the line. In politics, you shrug it off, smile for the cameras, and get back to the task of trying to win your race. After the event, I told a few of my staff what happened. We all talked about the inexplicable weirdness of what he did, but I didn't plan on telling anyone else. But then time passed. Pictures started to surface of Biden getting uncomfortably close with women and young girls. Biden nuzzling the neck of the defense secretary's wife. Biden kissing a senator's wife on the lips. Biden whispering in women's ears. Biden snuggling female constituents. I saw obvious discomfort in the women's faces, and Biden, I'm sure, never thought twice about how it made them feel. Had I never seen those pictures, I may have been able to give Biden the benefit of the doubt. Had there not been multiple articles written over the years about the exact same thing, calling his creepy behavior an open secret, perhaps it would feel less offensive. And yet, despite the steady stream of pictures and the occasional article, Biden retained his title of America's favorite uncle. On occasion, that title was downgraded to America's creepy uncle, but that in and of itself implied a certain level of acceptance. So this is a problem for Joe Biden. Finally. And I will openly admit, when we decided on theme music for Joe Biden, we did consider that Selena Gomez song, originally, and we may have to return to it as the typical Joe Biden theme music, because dude has a way of getting too close to women and then doing this sort of stuff. And that's not just me saying that now. That is the former nominee for Lieutenant Governor of Nevada, Lucy Flores. All right, coming up, we'll be joined by American hero, former Army Sergeant.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
On April 13th and 14th, Project Healing Waters will be holding its fifth annual Sundial Challenge. Project Healing Waters Fly Fishing is dedicated to the physical and emotional rehabilitation of disabled active military personnel and disabled veterans through fly fishing and associated activities. There are several sponsorship packages available for those wishing to support our disabled vet. If you can help or have questions, please contact John Boyden at 530-722-0798.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about the film.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This week, President Trump handed out the Medal of Honor to Staff Sergeant Travis Atkins. He actually handed it to Travis Atkins' son because the Medal of Honor was given posthumously. Joining us on the line right now is former Staff Sergeant Sand Aho. He's a former U.S. Army sergeant and infantryman. He attended the March 27th White House ceremony in which President Trump posthumously awarded that Medal of Honor. He was also present in Iraq June 1st, 2007, when Staff Sergeant Atkins sacrificed his life to save his comrades, including Aho, by tackling a suicide bomber. Staff Sergeant, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Doing well. So if you could, can you tell us the story of what exactly Staff Sergeant Atkins did?
Yeah, so, you know, we were on route security. It was a big part of the mission that we had while we were overseas. There was a main supply route that ran through the area of operations we were in. It was a sunny summer day. We got a call over the radio that there were four suspicious men attempting to cross where they weren't supposed to be. We fired up the Humvee. I was up in the gun turret. Travis was in the front passenger seat. That's the truck commander's seat. We had a driver, and then our platoon medic was also in the back seat with us. We raced down there. By the time we got there, paint a picture. You have a dusty dirt road, canals on both sides, 10 to 12 foot reeds in those canals, so you can't really see much. Visibility's not great. There's a driveway to the right entering a mosque, a small village to the left. As we approached, the two men were there. The other two, at this point, I'm assuming, had fled or gotten across. Couldn't see them. As we approached, I start verbally engaging them, trying to get them to comply, stop. They're very fidgety. They had a very glassy look in their eye, which obviously made a lot more sense later. As I'm yelling at them, they wouldn't comply. I charged a 50 caliber machine gun, pointed at them to try to send a stronger message. At this point, Travis exited the vehicle and also began verbally engaging. Our platoon medic got out to come around to help separate the men. Travis, you know, was engaging with the one man as our medic was bringing the other around. I was providing cover with my M4 at this point. Travis starts to get physical. The man was resisting. They start engaging in a form of hand-to-hand combat. I could tell Travis was trying to gain control of the guy's hands. Within a split second, he had bear hugged the guy, lifted him up. Mind you, this was a very impressive lift and slam by Travis, who he wasn't the biggest guy, so I was initially just completely impressed, but that quickly turned to confusion as he slams the guy to the ground. And he maintained control and started to position his body in just something that wasn't a natural way that you would expect. He started to move his body to put it between the man, our medic, and myself. And all of a sudden, there was a big blast, and the man detonated. And Travis, you know, we later found out they were grenade-activated suicide vests that filled with shrapnel, so without Travis, myself, the medic, our driver, we wouldn't be here today.
I mean, it's just an amazing story of heroism, obviously. And you and your colleagues then neutralized the other person who was there, correct?
Correct. So at this point, there was a lot of confusion. you know, it's not like the movies. It's just there's the blast. It's dusty. It's smoky. Visibility wasn't good. I honestly initially thought that maybe they had rolled onto a roadside bomb, or maybe we were being mortared or artillery, something like that, because there hadn't been a suicide bomber in that area since the invasion, basically. So we weren't used to that. Out of the dust, the second man came running around, and our driver had been attempting to exit the vehicle when the first blast happened. So the man came out of the dust, and that's when I began engaging with him, with my M4, and he attempted to dive into the truck. Luckily, our medic had also been engaging him. I was engaging him. I witnessed him fall to the ground, and as I continued to shoot, he then detonated, and that's when things became a lot clearer what had just happened.
We're speaking with former U.S. Army Sergeant and Infantryman Sandejo. He was present at the heroic action of Staff Sergeant Travis Atkins, who was given the Medal of Honor this week by the President of the United States. What was the aftermath of all of this like, Sandra? How did you deal with it?
So after the immediate aftermath, our platoon collapsed on us, by which I mean they all came to our position. Obviously, nobody... I had radioed in what had happened. I think there was a lot of disbelief because, like I said, suicide bombers were not common. So a search began for Travis. We were calling for him. I know what I had just seen, but a part of me held out hope that he was still okay. I continued to pull security. Mind you, it's the aftermath of two men who had just intentionally blown themselves up to harm others. So you can only imagine what the scene looked like. The smell is something I'll never forget. We found Travis. At that point, we were allowed to go back to our headquarters. When we arrived, I'll never forget, our chaplain was there. He was a really big guy, about probably 6'3", and I'm a shorter guy. I'm 5'6", so I get out of the truck, and I just remember him looking at me. And I walked up to him. He gave me a big hug, and I just broke down. All the emotion I had bottled up over the past several hours, it all came out all at once. And, you know, we still had, at this point, we were about 10 months into a deployment. This was when the surge happened in 06, 07. So we got extended. We still had 5 months after this. So you deal with it. You move on. You still have a mission to complete, and everybody else still has to make it home. So, you know, we completed that deployment. Well, from there, we kind of lost touch, and I found out all about this Medal of Honor ceremony a few weeks ago, and it was really good news.
Well, what was the Medal of Honor ceremony like for those of us who have never been to one? There are only about 3,400 Medals of Honor that have ever been handed out in the history of the United States. What was the ceremony itself like, where President Trump gave the Medal of Honor to Staff Sergeant Travis Atkins' son?
It's emotional. It's very humbling. I mean, this whole experience has been life-changing for me. To see his son, at the time, his son was about 10, 11 years old. So when we had gotten back from overseas back in 2007, I had the opportunity to meet his son and his parents and his family. To see his son now today, grown up, he's about 22 now, the man that he's become, and to hear him speak, I mean, it's something I'm going to carry with me forever. And the opportunity to get to see that who he's become, I'm just really proud of him. I know his dad would be really proud of him, and I hope he knows how much he means to me, because to see him, it really brought everything full circle.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining the show and telling the story. It really is an important story. If you want to read the story, you can also read it over at DailyWire.com. We've been speaking with Sandejo, former U.S. Army Sergeant and Infantryman, and thank you for all you do to bear witness to the heroism of Staff Sergeant Travis Atkins, whose family was given the Medal of Honor this week. Thanks so much for joining the show, Sand.
Thank you, Ben.
Meanwhile, President Trump is threatening to close the border. That is the news from the border right now. He says if illegal immigration is not stopped, then all illegal immigration will be stopped by an actual closure of the border. He said in a Friday morning tweet storm, unless Mexico immediately and completely ends all illegal immigration into the United States, he plans to close down the border or large sections of the border this week. He tweeted out, the Democrats have given us the weakest immigration laws anywhere in the world. Mexico has the strongest, and they make more than $100 billion a year on the United States. Therefore, Congress must change our weak immigration laws now. and Mexico must stop illegals from entering the United States through their country and our southern border. Mexico has for many years made a fortune off the U.S., far greater than border costs. If Mexico doesn't immediately stop all illegal immigration coming into the United States through our southern border, I will be closing the border or large sections of the border next week. This would be so easy for Mexico to do, but they just take our money and talk. Besides, we lose so much money with them, especially when you add in drug trafficking, etc., that the border closing would be a good thing. It is not clear exactly what President Trump means by this, how exactly he would go about closing a border that is largely unprotected. It is true, however, that we do have a crisis on our southern border, as the president has been saying. As I've said before, there's an emergency on the southern border. Does it constitute a legal national emergency? I've been skeptical of that. But the question of whether there is a serious problem on the southern border, I mean, everybody acknowledges that at this point, even though the media and members of the left try to downplay it for quite a while. Here's former Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson from the Obama administration acknowledging, yeah, we got a crisis on the border.
On Tuesday, there were 4,000 apprehensions. I know that 1,000 overwhelms the system. I cannot begin to imagine what 4,000 a day looks like. So we are truly in a crisis.
Okay, and if you get that from Jed Johnson, then you know that that is certainly the bipartisan case. According to the Associated Press, Mexico is bracing for the possible arrival of the mother of all caravans. That's what they're calling it now, even as doubts arise over whether the group of Central American migrants will be all that big. Interior Secretary Olga Sanchez Cordero has said a caravan of migrants from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala could be forming. Sanchez Cordero said, quote, "We have information that a new caravan is forming in Honduras that they're calling the mother of all caravans, and they are thinking it could have more than 20,000 people." But a WhatsApp group calling for people to gather Saturday in El Salvador, set off for Guatemala, only had about 200 members at this point. Activist Irina Mujico, who has accompanied several caravans in Mexico, said reports about the mother of all caravans were false, claiming that this was information used to create fear. His group, Pueblos Sin Fronteras, which literally means people without borders, which is an astonishing name for any group, said in a statement that there was no evidence the new caravan would be that large, noting there has never been a caravan of that size that Sanchez Cordero mentioned. Indeed, past caravans hit very serious logistical hurdles at 7,000. There is fear from some of these immigrant activists that President Trump is trying to fan fears. But with that said, is it possible there's another massive caravan headed north? Yeah, a caravan of about 2,500 Central Americans and Cubans is currently making its way through Mexico's southern state of Chiapas. The largest of last year's caravans contained about 7,000 people. There is suggestion that maybe it was as high as 10,000. Mexico appears to be both tiring of the caravans and eager not to anger the United States. And this led to a sort of weird juxtaposition today, where President Trump tweeted out that he was angry at the Mexican government for not doing more. And then at the same time, his Secretary of Homeland Security was tweeting out her thanks to the governments of El Salvador, Honduras, and Mexico for trying to stop the illegal immigration problem. One thing is certain. The resources are simply strained. Our resources are broken. According to Breitbart, the U.S. is projected to add 1.5 million illegal immigrants to our population this year alone. They say this year the DHS is on track to release roughly 434,000 border crossers and illegal aliens into the country by the end of the year. That projection is based on current estimates that more than 36,000 border crossers and illegal aliens have been released from DHS custody every month since the beginning of the year. Now, not all those people will eventually become U.S. citizens. Many of those people will be deported. Still, we have seen a massive wave on our southern border, and it continues. And a lot of these people are family members. They're members of families who are showing up. So it's not just a bunch of young men looking for jobs. Additionally, Princeton Policy Advisors researcher Stephen Kopitz projects that in 2019, there will be up to 500,000 illegal immigrants at the southern border who successfully cross into the United States undetected by Border Patrol agents. All of this should be deeply disturbing to anybody who believes in rule of law. You want to make sure that everybody at the very least is processed so we know who the heck is in the country. Right, left, and center, we should all believe the same thing on that. And yet there seems to be this impasse that has been set up where Democrats, many Democrats, top Democrats, seem to believe that it's somehow white supremacy or racism to call for some control over our southern border. That's patently insane. I don't see how exactly that can be true. I don't see any evidence of that at all, in fact. It is a bizarre contention at the very least. At the very most, it's much more than that. It's not just bizarre. It's frightening. Because if you actually believe that America should have no borders, how are you going to keep Americans safe? How are you going to ensure that people follow American law? And I am generally libertarian when it comes to immigration. I think that if you want to come here and work, great, come here and work. But I don't think you get to come here and take advantage of our social services and be treated in the same way as an American citizen if you are not, in fact, an American citizen and came into the country without our permission. Again, that seems like a pretty moderate position to me, but even that is too much for Democrats. Okay, coming up, the New York Times prints an amazing piece about a guy who says he broke up with his girlfriend because she is white. Suffice it to say, I have serious doubts that the left would be in any way sympathetic if the races were reversed. We'll get to it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Amazing piece in the New York Times. It is amazing what kind of racism is allowed in our society so long as it comes from the intersectionally woke contingent. There's a piece in the New York Times today in the style section by a guy named Christopher Rivas. And I pronounce it that way because I believe he is Puerto Rican, although my pronunciation sucks whenever I try any sort of foreign pronunciation. In any case, he's an American, but his last name, obviously, Rivas, is Puerto Rican. He says, I broke up with her because she's white. That is the name of the piece. Okay, let me just get to it. I think I broke up with my last girlfriend because she's white. Actually, no, I definitely broke up with her because she's white. First, some history, writes this guy. When I was a child, watching my pops get ready to go out was something to behold. He would spend hours preparing his mask every morning for whatever crowd, person, or community he faced. A fresh shave, followed by a ton of cologne. He's Dominican, and it's important to him that people know he's coming and know he's there, and then blow-drying his hair to get that perfect coif. 11 years later, even years later, my pops took so longer to get ready than my mom and sister combined, delicately taking a black Sharpie to any stray grays that might pop up in his goatee. I'd ask him why. What's it all for? My pops would explain that as a young man in the Dominican Republic, you had to work so hard perfecting yourself, preparing your mask, so that when a young European or American woman came through, she might choose you, as you would put it, might take you home with her, just like that was your only way out. I referred to him as Puerto Rican. He's Dominican, obviously. Later, he made his way to New York City, where he met my mother, who is Colombian. He was married now and no longer had to be chosen, but habits ingrained in adolescence can be hard to break. So early on, I learned how important it was to be chosen, selected. Selected by whom became and remains my dilemma, writes this guy for the New York Times. It's been a year since I broke up with my girlfriend, and I haven't told her the real reason. I talked around it, mumbling about how I was trying to figure out who I was or whatever. She didn't understand. I'm not sure I do either. There was nothing wrong with her at all. I don't really know what my tipping point was. It just kind of happened. At 30, I woke up one day, says this person in the New York Times, took a deep breath, looked at her, and thought, I don't think I can date white women anymore. What now? So if this has been a white person writing this about a Dominican person, I don't think I can date Dominican women anymore, we would say that seems a little racist because this isn't just a question of sexual attraction. The person is our, presumably. But what this guy has to say is actually kind of fascinating. Quote, maybe I wouldn't have broken up with her if it hadn't been for all the judgment coming my way. Over the years, I have dated brown women and black women, but mostly white women. I hadn't thought about why that was. When some brown and black people in my community started giving me a hard time about dating white women, I sensed they'd be happier if I stopped. Again, reverse the races and recognize how nasty this is. If you say that somebody has to date someone simply based on ethnicity, right? Imagine this is a white guy saying, you know, my white friends would look at me and say, well, how can you date a person who's brown? And this is called racism. I also got weird vibes from some white people, namely the parents of the woman I was dating, like the ones who, even after I'd been dating their daughter for 6 months, kept thinking I was from Puerto Rico. I've never even been to Puerto Rico. Or the ones who said upon meeting me, oh, I love Buena Vista Social Club. Yeah, for sure, that's a great movie, but so is Gladiator. Again, that's not the same kind of racism as don't date my daughter, right? And the ones who asked me if I speak Mexican. Right? These are all mostly forms of ignorance and stupidity. But what he's talking about is that there are Hispanic and black people who asked him why he even dates white women at all. He says, the real reason I think I can no longer date white women isn't any of that. It's because in today's hashtag woke society, there's mad pressure to be hashtag woke. I mean, this guy's openly admitting the truth. And good for him for at least being honest. He's openly admitting that the hashtag woke society is racially polarizing and terrible. He says, to be aware of the implications of whom you're attracted to and why, which means that in the eyes of others, the color of the women I date is a big deal. Like I'm the problem. Like I'm betraying my people if I date white women. But I was taught that we were all one people. I see people watching me with a stink eye, noses turned up, as if they think black and brown people would somehow be better off if I dump my white girlfriend. It's a lot of pressure. Along with each watchful eye, the whispers of, pick a side, Chris, pick a side, fill my already noisy mind. I started reading James Baldwin, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and other black and brown authors looking for guidance, a roadmap, help on what it means to be a brown man in the world. Like, yes, our bodies have been colonized. Yes, I am a child of blackness. Yes, the black body has done more for society than it has gotten in return. Yes, society seems to want to embrace a lot of things associated with blackness without actually being black. How did we get here? If everyone is so woke, why are things so terrible? Maybe everyone isn't so woke. Anyway, what am I supposed to do? Now, here's the thing. When he says, if everyone is so woke, why are things so terrible? The answer is because everyone is so woke. Because woke does not mean aware of racial imbalances historically. Woke means that you are supposed to look at somebody of a particular race and make a judgment about them on the basis of that. That's what the new intersectional politics means, unfortunately. He says, am I the problem or is everybody else? Do white women find me attractive or do they see me as some exotic idea they should find attractive? Woke culture makes people get inside their own heads in a way that is deeply unhealthy and self-obsessed and narcissistic and attribute motives to people that don't actually exist. It's very bad stuff. And this article is perfect proof of that. He says, since I was a child, I've internalized the idea that the hand I hold determines my worth more than my own hands. That my power is only as valuable as the person by my side. A whole system is coded within me. Why wasn't self-worth coded within me? So now he can't date a white woman because it makes him feel inferior. It's amazing. He says, I brought home a black girl in high school and my aunt angrily mumbled, oh, do you see him? And that Negrita, I should have...
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Tuesday of the month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State.
on North State Now. Hi, I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we'll learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Tuesday of the month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Correspondent Ed Donahue reports that President Trump is threatening to shut down the border with Mexico.
The president wants Mexico to immediately shut down illegal immigration.
We're not going to give them hundreds of billions of dollars and tell them that they're not going to use their strong immigration laws to help the United States. So there's a very good likelihood that I'll be closing the border next week.
This could impact trade with Mexico. Speaking from Florida, the president also wants Democrats to change immigration laws.
We have the worst. We have the weakest, the most pathetic, the most laughed at immigration laws anywhere in the world. They're the Democrats' laws. And I got stuck with them.
Attorney General William Barr says that he will deliver a redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report by mid-April. House Democrats have suggested they may subpoena the report if it's not delivered by next week. Here's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines.
Barr says he's working with a special counsel to redact material prohibited by law, material that could compromise intelligence sources and methods, items that could affect ongoing matters and that could infringe on the privacy of third parties. In a letter to the heads of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees, he says he shares the desire to ensure that Congress and the public have the opportunity to read the report. He says he is well along in the process, and he expects to be able to release the report by mid-April, if not sooner.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. A pro-life victory achieved in Georgia's legislature.
Lawmakers in the Georgia House have passed a fetal heartbeat bill, outlawing almost all abortions in the state. The Georgia bill allows exceptions to save the life of the mother, and also in the case of rape and incest, but only when the woman files a police report first. A heartbeat can be detected in a human embryo as early as 6 weeks.
That's correspondent Jennifer King. Georgia's Governor Brian Kemple signed the bill. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Fred Dreyer, former Rams defensive end. Football season just ended, and you can bet teams are already hard at work scouting new talent for next season. But if you're running a small business, you need to know where to go to find top recruits. LinkedIn. It's where people go every day to make connections, grow in their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends the qualified candidates you want to spend time talking to make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/solution. Get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/solution. Terms and conditions apply.
Yet another defeat for Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal in the British Parliament.
Theresa May's Brexit deal tonight suffered a third catastrophic defeat, which would seem to spell the end for the Prime Minister's agreement and maybe even her premiership. This evening, Number 10 signalled that Mrs. May would take stock over the weekend. Sources said the Prime Minister remained convinced hers was still the best deal for the country. Now, however, the initiative passes to Parliament.
The BBC's Norman Smith, Britain's alternatives are dwindling. The EU has given Britain until April 12, 2 weeks away, to decide whether it wants to ask for another postponement to Brexit. The bloc has called an emergency Brexit summit for April 10 to deal with a British request or prepare for a no-deal Brexit. Pro-Brexit demonstrators gathered outside in Parliament Square. News and analysis at townhall.com. U.S. consumer spending edged up 0.1% in January, while incomes advanced 0.2% in February.
The Commerce Department says the weak gain in consumer spending followed a 0.6% decline in December that represented the biggest one-month drop in more than 9 years. The 0.2% advance in incomes in February came after a 0.1% decline the month before. Many analysts believe the economy has entered a soft patch and that growth is significantly slower in the current quarter.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. The U.S. faces various headwinds, including weakness overseas and the waning effects of the 2017 tax cuts. A top Trump administration official calling on the Federal Reserve to cut its key interest rate by a half percentage point. Larry Kudlow, head of the President's National Economic Council, says in an interview with CNBC that the Fed should do more to help the economy by cutting rates. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a big hour planned for you here. We're going to be talking about Joe Biden, who apparently really likes smelling women's hair. This is starting to pick up some steam now. Turns out that Joe Biden has a long history of getting too close to the ladies, which leads to his new 2020 slogan, which he has just released. Apparently, he likes coming up to women and smelling their hair and nuzzling them and stuff. Biden 2020, I'm an herbal essences man. So really looking forward to that campaign. We'll get to that coming up. We will also be joined a little bit later on in the hour by Dr. Kanta Ahmed. She is the member of the Council on Foreign Relations and author of The Land of Invisible Women, to talk about the violation of human rights, particularly against women in the radical Muslim world. Plus, we have to get to, I mean, we just have a bunch of other stuff. Also, it's a Friday, which means that we have to have Uncle Ben's SJW story time, right? I mean, it wouldn't be a Friday without that. We got to part on a lighter note. But the big news at this hour is still President Trump on the rampage. So he is preparing for 2020. And he is doing so by really going strong. I mean, going strong. So last night he's in Michigan. Michigan, of course, is a battleground state. The president needs to win Michigan or he is in serious danger of losing his reelection bid. Michigan, he won very narrowly against Hillary Clinton, about 47.3% to 47.0%. And he is still popular there. The state's trending blue, but Trump has a serious shot at winning it. He did a rah-rah rally. I mean, thousands of people show up in the aftermath of the release of the top line of the Mueller report. Now, as I reported earlier on in the show, the Attorney General William Barr says that within the next couple of weeks, there will be a 400-page Mueller report that will come down the pike. So we will be able to see all of the things. He says that Mueller is himself involved in the redactions. So this is not a cover-up, which means, and Trump will not assert executive privilege. So obviously, Trump and his people have already read this thing. That means he's really not afraid of what is coming next. He was on a rampage last night. He went after the media in extraordinarily strong terms, as well he should. He says the collusion's illusion is over.
After 3 years of lies and smears and slander, the Russia hoax is finally dead. The collusion delusion is over. The special counsel completed its report and found no collusion and no obstruction.
You know, for years, the media kept saying that Republicans were engaged in political overreach. This is one of the worst cases of political overreach I've ever seen by Democrats. For them to claim that Trump was indeed in the pay of the Ruskies, that he was somehow a Soviet tool, that it allows Trump to run with this, and he is going to run with this. He says this is the greatest hoax in history.
And all of the current and former officials who paid for, promoted, and perpetuated the single greatest hoax in the history of politics in our country.
Okay, well, he is not wrong about a lot of this. Right? He is not wrong about a lot of this. Now, all of this is well taken and fine. And it is fine for him to go after the media, too. It is fine for him to go after Democrats for targeting him. This is actually kind of normal stuff. I mean, Barack Obama did it, too. Trump is just louder about it. And the fact is that when Trump says that this is all ridiculous BS, I think most Americans kind of agree with that, actually.
The Democrats have to now decide whether they will continue defrauding the public with ridiculous bullshit. Partisan investigations, or whether they will apologize to the American people and join us to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure.
Okay, now, again, that pitch is not a bad pitch. Here's where the president starts to go off the rails. He can't hold it in. Now, Trump is the Spinal Tap speaker. There is no 10. It goes all the way to 11. Why does it go to 11? Why not just make 10 louder? Because it needs to have an 11, obviously. Well, Trump is the 11. Everything is 11. And that means he can't just go after Adam Schiff for being a liar. He can't go after Adam Schiff for proclaiming that he had knowledge of events that he didn't have. He can't go after Adam Schiff for any of that. He goes after Adam Schiff because he has a weird neck. I'm not kidding you. That's what the president did last night. He went after Representative Schiff from California, who is a terrible representative. I know. I'm either in his district or in the district next to his. We're right on the border. President Trump attacks him because he thinks his neck is weird.
Little pencil neck Adam Schiff. He's got the smallest, thinnest neck I've ever seen. He is not a long ball hitter. But I saw him today. Well, we don't really know. There could still have been some Russia collusion.
That's funny. Is it going to win suburban women? I don't think so. Is it going to win over people who are moderate? Probably not. But, you know, listen, Trump having a good time is better than Trump having a bad time. Negative Trump is much worse than positive Trump. And positive Trump, you get stuff like this, where he just talks about how great the Great Lakes are. It turns out they are the greatest of all the lakes, the Great Lakes.
I support the Great Lakes. Always have. They're beautiful. They're big. Very deep. Record deepness, right?
Record deepness, man. Deepness like you wouldn't believe. And once he gets going with the comedy routine and he actually directs it at Democratic policy, here's where he's on solid ground. And here's where the Democrats have a challenge. Because the fact is that Trump is able, because he is a TV guy, he is able to encapsulate in easy narrative soundbite form a lot of Democratic policies. So, for example, here's the President of the United States going after the Democrats on alternative energy. Now, the real point here is that Democrats keep suggesting that alternative forms of energy other than nuclear will somehow avert climate change. It's absolute sheer nonsense. But instead of giving facts and figures, here's the president talking about the insufficiency of windmills, and it's pretty funny.
If Hillary got in, you wouldn't have that stat, I can tell you right now. You'd be doing windmills, and if it doesn't blow, you can forget about television for that night. Darling, I want to watch television. I'm sorry, the wind isn't blowing. I know a lot about wind.
Dude knows a lot about wind. I can't argue with him there. He knows a lot about wind. Now, the real serious part of his campaign is this, right? You want sort of his slogan in a couple of sentences, clip 31. He talks about Democrats and what exactly Democrats believe. This is going to be the theme of his campaign, as well it should be.
Radical Democrats are the party of high taxes, open borders, late-term abortion, crime, hoaxes, and delusions. The Republican Party is the party for all Americans. It's what we want to be. It's the way we want to live. We're the party of the American worker, the American family, and we are the party of the American dream.
Pointing at Democrats is his best strategy, and he continues to push it. He should. And he does so in hilarious and amazing ways. Here is President Trump talking about the Green New Deal. Again, the Democrats own radicalism. It's so funny. They convince themselves that Trump is so unpopular they could literally do anything and be okay. Trump is so unpopular that they could propose the dumbest crap imaginable, and everybody would just shrug and say, oh, well, at least they're not Trump. That ain't the way that it works. You can, in fact, make yourself so toxic that people simply overlook Trump, which is exactly what happened to Hillary Clinton in 2016. Hillary Clinton made herself so toxic that the election turned into a referendum, not on the weird-haired reality TV star, but on the career politician. Democrats could easily do that. Here's President Trump talking about the Green New Deal, the best thing that ever happened to Trump's campaign.
The Democrats are now advancing an extreme $100 trillion government takeover called the Green New Deal. But I'd rather not talk about it tonight because I don't want to talk them out of it too soon. Because I love campaigning against the Green New Deal. I want them to make that a big part of their platform. No more airplanes, no more cows. One car per family. One car. Oh, you're going to love that in Michigan. Hey, how do you like the idea of one car per family? I don't think so. That's
right. Again, it's pretty spectacular stuff. Now, what is great about Trump taunting Democrats over the Green New Deal is this gives them one of two choices. Either they dump it over the side, in which case he says, remember when they used to talk about the Green New Deal? And now they don't anymore? That's because of me. That's because they're so dumb. They went out there and they said, beepa, that's something they were going to, and then I just smacked them and they stopped. So if they stop talking about it, Trump wins. And if they keep talking about it, Trump wins. Him taunting them, it's actually a fairly smart tactic on that. Now, I don't know if that's instinctively smart or just smart. Whatever it is, it ain't a bad tactic. We'll continue with President Trump's 2020 campaign in just a second. First, let's talk about your sleep quality. There's nobody on the planet like you, so why exactly would you buy a generic mattress built for somebody else? Helix Sleep has built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress, whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed. With Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split that mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro. My wife and I have a Helix Sleep mattress. We took that 2-minute sleep quiz. We got the mattress customized to us in the mail. We opened the package, inflated it right in front of us, popped it on the bed, good to go. It is that comfortable. Go check it out right now. HelixSleep.com/Shapiro. Get $125 off your mattress order. HelixSleep.com/Shapiro. All right, so the president of the United States, again, his campaign, all he has to do is just point at the Democrats. That's all he has to do. And the Democrats just keep falling right into it over and over and over. They keep proposing more and more extreme plans in the hopes that Trump's unpopularity will somehow mainstream their stupidity. That's not the case. Here's President Trump pointing out the Democrats do want to destroy your private health insurance.
The Democrats are pushing socialist, government-run health care that bans private health insurance for 180 million Americans. Now think of it. A lot of you have private plans, and they're great. They're great. And you want that. They want to take them away. That's not going to work. I don't think that's going to work too well.
Okay, well, he is correct about that. Right? There's no question that this stuff is too radical for the American people. So all Trump should do is just stand there and point. A little bit less of the pencil neck, a little bit less of the stuff that Trump loves to do, a little bit more of eating his vegetables, just pointing out Democrat failings over and over. And again, he does have a gift. He can draw attention. He can summarize the silliness of other people's ideas in a brief line. He's a destructor machine. Right? They chose the form of their destructor, and it was Donald Trump. And now he's the Pillsbury Doughboy, just wandering about through the city of New York. He can be a powerful candidate. All it requires is just a modicum, like a little bit of discipline. That's it. A little bit of discipline. So a little bit less on the pencil neck, Adam Schiff. I understand. It's funny. I laughed, too. There's no way not to. It's funny. But, you know, you want to win suburban women? Focus more on the fact they want to take away your cow and your car. Or kill your cow and take your car and take away your airplane and all the other fun stuff. Alrighty. In just a second, we are going to get to the state of Georgia, which just passed a vitally important bill on abortion. We'll get to that momentarily. But first, let's talk about how you can get more from this show. You can actually watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show. You can do it. You have to be a Daily Wire Premium subscriber. How do you do this thing? You go to dailywire.com. You click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire Premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours of the show every day on demand. A Daily Wire subscription includes not only all 3 hours of the show, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and more. Plus, as part of a limited-time offer, you will get the exclusive Leftist Tears tumbler, this thing right here that I am holding, so you can drink those Leftist Tears or coffee or tea or whatever you are into, hot or cold. Ever wonder what the man behind this beautiful voice looks like? I don't know why you would, but if you did, there's only one way you can see the show. Go to dailywire.com. Click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Go to dailywire.com. Click on that subscribe button at the top of the page. That's the only way to get all 3 hours plus all the other goodies that you get when you become a member. By the way, during the breaks, I answer questions and everything. Go check it out right now at dailywire.com and subscribe. Alrighty, coming up, the state of Georgia just passed a bill to protect any baby that has a heartbeat. It's the so-called heartbeat bill. It's about to head to the governor's desk. He's expected to sign it into law tonight. And Hollywood is fighting back, as they always do, against the good and decent. I'll explain. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful